Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Good morning. Morning. They ask us to give our positions at the church, so I work on finance, but my main position, I have two. I am married to the senior leader here. And my second one is I am mom to five kids here, one of which is Jackie Shopes, and she is going to bring the word today. Now, Jackie she walks deeply in her father's anointing, so much to the point that I've threatened for most of her life to change her middle name to Brian. So with that being said, listen up. I don't know what she's talking about, but I know the word is going to be powerful. I know it will relate to you. So give a listen.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Once again, my name is Jackie Shopes. I am a daughter of the house here, and I do have a very special word for you. The title of the message today are You on the Right Path, Going in the Right Direction? So our first scripture is from Jeremiah. It's 29:11, and so you can read up there and follow along with me if you should choose. For I know the path I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, you'll notice during my message that I will interchange the terms plans and path. For me, they mean the same thing. The plan is the path that you are on, and the path is the plan that you need to follow, okay? So, God's plan or path is utterly perfect, okay? I can't give you another word besides perfection. His plan for your life is where you need to be at every single time, every moment that you are walking with Christ, okay? It is designed for you, specifically for you. Your plan is not for someone else. Your plan, your path is for you. It is designed so that you can become the best version of yourself that the world needs. Okay? Your path is designed solely for you so that you can become the best version of yourself that the world needs. Remember, God called us to make disciples. Don't we have to be the best version of ourselves to give to the world what they need, so that they can know Christ in the way that they need to know Christ? So here's the thing. Our path is full of choices, correct? Absolutely. You can choose to not follow that path, and it will probably turn out not good. It will not be a good choice because you're taking your path in your own hands. You're no longer walking in the path that God has for you. You're no longer walking in that perfect path. So now you're walking in your path, which is probably going to be filled with hardship and turmoil. Okay? Your path will always lead you into dealing with that hardship and turmoil because you feel like you know it all. You feel like you have all the answers. I got this. I don't need you, God. Okay? It doesn't work out. Okay? It just doesn't. I'm going to give you an example of a person who chose to take his path in his own hands, and he literally went the opposite direction, and it turned out poorly for him. So we're going to talk about Jonah. Okay? Now, listen, there is good that comes out of Jonah's path that he took in his opposite direction. I will explain it to you in just a second. So let's go ahead and take a look at Jonah. We're going to start in chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. So his path was get up, get moving, go to Nineveh. That was the direction that God told him to go. Get up and move. Do what I'm telling you to do. So let's see what happens. But Jonah, he got up, right? So step one, he got up and he did good. He went in the opposite direction. He no longer is doing good. He no longer is on the perfect path of God. He's going literally the opposite direction to get away from what the Lord has said. Listen, you can't get away from God. You cannot. No matter if you're going in the opposite direction, you cannot get away from the Lord. He is with you no matter what. Now, whether you're listening to him or not is a different story. Whether you're going into the opposite direction that he wants you to, that's on you. So he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leading for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So here's a graphic for you that I'm pretty sure is very familiar. Wrong way, go back. You know, we have those signs when you're driving that do not enter wrong way. You know, do not go that way, right? That would be very, very badly if you're driving on the highway and you decide to go the wrong direction, correct? So picture driving on the highway. Literally picture it. Ooh. And go the wrong way. Okay? Picture driving, going the wrong way. Is it good for you? Is it healthy? Does it bring you joy? No. It brings hardship and turmoil. Am I correct? Absolutely. So Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and to tell them about their wickedness. That was his job. Get up, go, and tell them about themselves. Okay? That was part of Jonah's plan and his path. Jonah said, yeah, right. I'm going on this boat and forget you. Okay? So let's take a look at an example. We're going to watch a video. Let's take a look at what it is like when you are going in the wrong direction and what happens when you're in that path of the wrong direction. So just direct your attention up here.
Hey! What's going on?
Some Joker wants to race.
Race? That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Put your window down!
He wants something.
Probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He said we're going the wrong way.
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you. What a moron.
Okay, that's what it is like when you decide to take your path in your own hands, all right? Notice how John Candy was like, no, you're good. Who do you think that is in your life? Okay, notice the other people were like, what in the world are you doing? You're going the wrong way. I don't think Jonah was by himself in this. I think Jonah had people in his life saying, whoa, dude. You need to stop. You're going the wrong direction. You are going to end up in a place that you never thought you would end up in. You definitely don't want to be. Jonah was like, I don't need you. I'm going to keep on going. So let's continue with Jonah. So he is on the boat with the sailors, and we are going to begin in verse 4. So, but the Lord, he hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw cargo over to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was asleep down in the hold. Now, those sailors called out to their god to quit it. It didn't do anything. Jonah, because he chose not to listen to God, he was in sin, and that sin had a hold of him, and he thought that he could just sleep on through it, okay? So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at this time, he shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified that Jonah was the culprit. We're going to stop there. So we're going to finish the clip that we just watched, and we're going to discuss it when we're done. In a second, we are. So remember, the person was saying, hey, you're going the wrong way. The tractor trailers were coming. Okay? They're driving in the opposite direction. Yes, that's exactly what it's like when you go the wrong way, okay? Let's just go back to the scriptures real quick. So do you remember when the sailors cast lots to their gods? The enemy will always rat you out for not staying on the path of God. Always. Did you also see how John Candy turned into the devil? He knew the entire time that they were going the wrong direction. He was playing, okay? The devil will try to play with you while you're going the wrong direction and say, no, 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 it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Finally, Steve Martin realized, oh, wait a second, this is bad, this is really bad, okay? You need to come to the point where you are realizing that you are going the wrong direction and that you are not in the perfect path that God has for you. So we're going to continue to read. Verse 9, Jonah answered, so of course the guy said, we're going to do verse 8. Why is this awful storm come to us? They demand, who are you? What line of work are you from? What country are you from? Where are you from? What in the world's happening? And so Jonah says, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this. For he had already told them that he was running for the Lord from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. Why? They're asking him. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who the Lord is. They're saying, why in the world would you run from the Lord? They don't have a clue who he is yet, but they're asking. They're questioning. Why is he doing this? The sailors were terrified when they heard this. For he had already told them that he was running from the Lord, and they asked, why are you doing this? Since the storm was getting worse at this time, what should we do to stop the storm? Go ahead to the next one, please. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and he couldn't continue. In order for the storm to stop, and we'll see this in a couple verses from now, Jonah had to take responsibility for his actions. He had to say, I am running from the Lord. If he wouldn't have done that, he probably just would have died, and so would those sailors, okay? But that wasn't God's purpose for his life. That wasn't God's plan for this moment in time for Jonah. You'll also notice that when Jonah took responsibility for his actions, it began the process of repentance. Okay? When we choose to not follow God's path, in order for our path to change to where God's path is, in the direction that he wants us to go, we have to recognize where we are, and we have to repent to begin the process of repentance. Okay? All it is you have to have a conversation with God and say, I'm sorry for being dirty. It's that simple. I'm sorry for not listening to you. I'm sorry. Okay, you can have those kind of conversations with God. He doesn't need some, oh, Lord Jesus, please save me from my terrible troubles. I'm sorry. for acting the way that I acted. I'm sorry for taking the path in my hands and not walking in the path that you have for me. Okay? So just pause for a second with Jonah. And let's take a look at Romans. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called to his purpose." Now, keep that in mind as we continue. Let me read it one more time for you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Okay, let's jump back to Jonah. We're going to be verse 13. So, of course, the sailors paddled the ship. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were understanding they weren't on bicycles. They were rowing even harder. The storm was getting worse. Jonah said, "Hey, it's my fault." Verse 15, "Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him overboard." Bye, Jonah. The storm stopped at once. Okay? Now listen carefully. "The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him." Okay, let's go to Romans real quick. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But I just told you Jonah was thrown overboard. Let's not concentrate on Jonah right now. Let's concentrate on the sailors who believed in the Lord. Sometimes your path that you decide to go on is, of course, not God's will. But what does Romans say? Let's read it one more time. "For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called into his purpose." Now, did Jonah love God? Absolutely. Of course he did. Was he called by God for a purpose? Absolutely. So no matter what, Jonah's purpose worked out, didn't it? It didn't work out what Jonah thought that it would work out, but it worked out the exact way that God wanted it to, regardless of the way that Jonah was behaving. Okay? So our choices that we make will lead us on a path, but God will always use it for glory. Okay? So how did God use Jonah's disobedience? Jonah had to learn to listen and pursue his path, pursue God's path. Okay? And he also used Jonah's disobedience because the sailors became followers of the Lord. Okay? So no matter what path you are on, it will always be used for the glory of God. It just determines whether you have to take responsibility for your actions and go through the process of repentance, or if you're just going to do God's will to begin with. Can I just suggest it's a lot easier to do God's will to begin with than to have to walk through acknowledging your sin in the process of repentance? So let me give you an example from my life on choosing not to follow the path that God has for me. So I cleared this by my husband 20 minutes ago. So it's okay. He loves me anyways. So my husband and I, prior to us being married, we decided that we were going to have sex. And we were not being obedient to what God had for us. God says in the Bible, do not have sex before marriage. And so we decided to walk our own path. And as a result of our disobedience, we received this. Okay. Now, for every decision you make, there are consequences to the decision, whether they are good or bad. Now, do not hear that child right there is a consequence. She, oh boy, I knew I was going to cry at some point. She is a huge blessing. She is amazing kid. She is full of so much love, and she has taught my husband and I how to love in a different way. So the path that we took, the result, one of the results was her, but another result was hardship. And we, as soon as we acknowledged and repented, began the process of repentance, things started to turn around. Now, it took 5 years. 5 years for James and I to get to the place where God wanted us to be. Not that we didn't, we recognized our sin. We apologized for it. But the process of repentance is not always the next day. The process of repentance might take 3 days like it did for Jonah. That's why I believe Jonah was in the belly of the whale, because he was in the process of repentance. It took him 3 days. It took James and I 5 years to get through the process of repentance. In that 5 years, we had to go through fighting. I mean, we fought. We had to go through not having enough money, literally, like, couldn't make our bills meet. We lived in a shady apartment, super shady, to where we lived in the top part of an apartment. There was some weird guy that lived in the bottom, and he smelled like smoke all the time. Okay, see how much I know. Okay, we had to go through some serious, we had to go through some serious spiritual warfare because of one choice we chose to make. The process of repentance for us took 5 years. Can I please encourage you to make the choice that God is asking you to make, and don't run in the opposite direction? Because when you are running in the opposite direction, or you just deviate from God's plan, it will lead you to a place, no matter what, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, it will lead you to a place of recognition for your sins and a process of repentance. Okay? So those are two examples between Jonah and myself on how walking on the path of Christ, or not walking on the path of Christ, how it leads you. No matter what, the path that you take will always lead you back to the path that God has for you. But do you really want to walk a life of hardship for however long God says you have to walk that path out? Okay? It took 40 years for the people of Israel. That's a long time. It took James and I 5 years. That's a long time. It took Jonah 3 days in the belly of a stinky, nasty fish. 3 days. Okay? We're going to switch, and we're going to talk about two people who made the right choice. Okay? So we're going to take a look at Paul and Silas. We're going to start in Acts 16, verse 16. One day, we were going down to the place, to the place of prayer. We met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." So, let's stop right there. Paul and Silas were on the right path. Well, how do you know? Because they were going to a place of prayer. If you're going to a place of prayer, more than likely you're on the right path. If you're coming to church, you are more than likely on the right path. They were doing God's will. Verse 18, please. So, remember, the slave girl, she's just being annoying. They went on day after day until Paul got exasperated. He was just annoyed by this girl. And he turned around and he said to the demon, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And she instantly it left her. Now listen, I don't think that slave girl was like, "Oh yay, these are the people who will save you." I think she was seriously being annoying, like my kids are when they're like, "Mom, mom, mom, mom." I think it was more like that. Okay? Yes, she was telling the truth, but sometimes the enemy will tell the truth in a way that is unhealthy. Okay? So the slave girl's like, oh, here we go. Let's go do this. Blah, 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 blah. Mom. And Paul was like, enough. Go away in the name of Jesus. Peace out. Goodbye. And the demon left. They're still on the path of Christ. They're still doing what God asked them to do, because it said in John 14, verse 12 through 14, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same work that I have done, even greater works. Now, this is Jesus talking. Because I am going to the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son of God will bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. What did Paul say to the demon? Can we go back? I think it was verse 18. Can we go back to that? I command you in the name of Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus cast out demons? There's proof right there. Didn't Jesus just tell us, I will do anything in the name of Jesus, in my name? Boom, there's proof number two. So Paul was, in fact, working in the path, on the plan of Jesus, on the path that he had for him, okay? We're getting to a point, don't you worry. All right. So, of course, here's Paul and Silas, and the masters are getting mad because, well, that lady made money for him, and now he just cast out the demon that made money, so where's their money going to come from? So, verse 20, it says, the whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. It says, they shouted to the city officials, they are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. So they're basically getting ticked off. All right, you just jacked up my business. I'm coming after you. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Now, you're probably thinking, wait a second, how is this Paul and Silas's path? Did anyone ever say that walking in the path of Christ would be easy? No. If anything, it's hard work. In the Bible, it frequently tells us about working hard. They're getting beaten. They were thrown in prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. Sometimes on your path, you will have things that are hard, not hardship. It will be hard, and it is okay. Because the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet. He definitely wanted to make sure they didn't escape. Okay, so let's continue. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. They're on the path that God called them to be, and even though they had to deal with something hard, they are still singing, and they are still worshiping the Lord. So remember, on your path, when you are following the perfect path of God, it will be hard, but what do? We pause, and we thank God for where we are, because that is where he has us to be. More than likely, it is to build your character. So suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken by its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains fell off the prisoners. Now stop. Go back. I don't want anyone to see what happens. So the Paul and Silas, the prisoners, had two options. Option number one, leave. All the doors were open. Their shackles were taken off. Leave. Run. Escape. Don't come back. Don't look back. Keep going. Or stay. At times on your path, you will have two options. Run, leave, escape. You have the opportunity to go, or stay put. Let's see what happens. The jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were wide open. He assumed that the prisoners escaped, and he was about to kill himself because he knew that he thought he didn't do his job. Okay, let's continue. Paul shouted, stop, don't kill yourself, we are all here. Notice the choice they made. They chose to stay, to stand firm, because that is where God had them to be at that particular moment. Paul and Silas were close to God to hear God say, don't you go anywhere. I have a plan for you. This is the path that I want you to be on. Stay put. Your path will sometimes tell you, stay put, do not move. And you better listen when God tells you not to move. Okay? So let's continue. So here's the good part. The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They stayed put, didn't they? Let's continue. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him, and with that, all who lived in his household were saved. Pause. Stay on your path. Salvation comes. Not just for you. Not just for the one person that might be on your path at that very moment in time, but notice how it leads to the generations. Okay? Your path is not just for you, but it's for others as well. Notice how Paul and Silas, they walked their path out of perfection that God had for them, and it caused other peoples to follow the Lord as well. Your path is the same exact way. What you say, what you do, the way you act is the way others will react. Okay? If you are acting the way God is asking you, if you are paused when he says to pause, if you are running when he says to run, if you are skipping, if he asks you to skip, there is a reason for it. It could be the person that's right here beside you that just needs something from you and you're about to give it to him, whether you know it or not. Okay? So, like I said, the way we act is the way others will react. It's the way it is. If you are defensive, let me put it this way. If my husband and I are having a conversation that's turning badly and I am defensive, what typically happens is my husband feels like he has to be defensive also. What if I stop and pause and ask God, what do you want my path to look like at this very moment? And take responsibility for myself and say, hold up, change your attitude. And I actually have an attitude of calmness. And we can still have a discussion, and it's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. It's okay to have your own opinion. It happens. My opinion's usually right, but it's okay.
Love you.
But anyways, you see what I mean? If we change our mindset and we follow the path of God, because the path of God is not just the direction that we're going, but it's also your heart, the way your heart is, and it's the way your mind is, okay? If you're on your path and your whole body is serving the Lord, you're able to deal with situations in a better way. So here's an example of my path and actually listening to God. So I knew in first grade that I wanted to become a teacher. So in order for me to become a teacher, I had to follow a multiple steps on my path. My path was a promise that God gave me of being a teacher. So on your path, your promises are there also. The moment you deviate from your path is the moment you let go of your promises. Okay? So hold tight to your path because that's when your promises will come. So, of course, in order for me to become a teacher, I had to pass high school because you need a diploma in order to get into college. Well, of course, I had to go to college because I needed a 4-year degree. You have to pass college in order to get your 4-year degree, which I passed college. I had to take this exam called a praxis, which is a standardized test to say, hey, you know how to teach. I took it. I passed it. I had to substitute teach. So let's just give you a timeline. Let's start from the end of college. I graduated college in 2010. This year is 2021, right? Yeah. I am still substitute teaching. Listen, God never said your path was going to be easy. God said you got to work it. Okay? My promise and my path is I will be a teacher, but I have to keep working at it. Now, listen, I work. I applied to countless jobs over the summer, and countless times I got rejected from the job. Never once was I rejected. Okay? Your path, if you're on the path of God, you will never be rejected. Okay? So always keep that in mind. Okay, rejection doesn't come on the path of God. Someone might reject what you are doing at the moment, but they never reject you. God never rejects you for who you are because, remember, you're on the perfect path that God has for you. Okay? So I didn't get hired. Okay. So I applied to more jobs, and I didn't get hired. I was offered a job, and I didn't take it because Holy Spirit said that job would be good, but it's not the best. You can take that, but that would not be, that would be good, but not your best. So I turned it down because I feel that I was following Holy Spirit. There will be times in your path where God will say, this is good for you, but if you hold on just a little longer, here's your best for you. Okay, so you have to listen to Holy Spirit while you're walking on the path that God has for you that is also perfection. Okay, I am currently teaching art at the high school. Do not ask me to draw you anything because it'll be a stick figure. And I'm not a very good artist, but my kids are lovely. My students are just wonderful. One of the things on my path of Christ is I have had to learn how to teach to kids who don't even believe in themselves. A lot of times I'm not even teaching art. I'm teaching kids how to take responsibility for their actions, how to love themselves, how to feel value, how to feel worth. Those are the things that are coming out of my mouth on a daily event. I'm constantly telling people, you're worthy, you're valuable. I had a student one day who happened to not be at school for a number of days, and she came in, and I said, oh, hey, it's super nice that you're here today. I'm glad you're back. And she looked at me, and she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you make my class better when you're here. She said, really? I said, yeah. Just little things like that. On your path, you will find that there are people who just need a little token of your value towards them, your worth towards them. Okay, once again, our path is not easy. It's full of work, but it's okay because God is with us in every single step, every single scenario, every single event that happens on our path. Okay, so remember, the path and the plan that God has for you is designed by Him for you so that you can be the best version of yourself that the world needs. Here's the last image for you guys. It is a good image. There. So there are two paths. I'm not going to tell you which one God's going to tell you to walk on. Okay? I don't know. That's between you and God. That's between you, God, your leader, if you need it to be. Okay? Remember, you always have two options. Option number one is to follow your own path. God gives us free will for a reason. God is not a tyrant. God is a father of love. That is why He gives us the options. Okay? Follow your own path. Following your own path will eventually lead you back to God's path. Absolutely. But it will also lead you down a road of hardship and turmoil, which will then in turn cause you to take responsibility for the sin that has happened, and take you through a process of repentance if you follow your own path. Second path, just follow God's path, please. It makes things so much easier. Listen, I'm not perfect. I still, at times, will go on my own path, and then it turns into me being dirty. And then it turns into I have to say I'm sorry, and then process of repentance, and then I'm finally back on God's path, okay? Following God's path will cause you to do greater works than Jesus did. It will cause you to lead people to Christ in the way that you act, as well as give you hope for your future because you are doing the good plan that God has for you. Okay, so we talked about these paths. Well, how do you identify them? How do you identify currently what path you are on? Are you currently living in hardship or turmoil? Has God told you something and you said no? In the scriptures, it also says, if God tells you to do something, now this is my words from the scripture, I'm paraphrasing. If God tells you to do something and you're not, you're in sin. That's one way that you know that you are not on God's path. As if God said, you need to do this, and you said, no. And God said, okay. All right? So, are you on your own path? Or are your actions causing others' reactions to have a relationship with God? Are you doing what God is telling you to do? Are you working hard on your path? If so, then you are on God's path. So, walking with Christ, like I've told you, is not easy. Sometimes you just want to go the opposite direction. But in that video, remember, when you go the opposite direction, okay, it's a crap show, all right? When you are, I can't swear, so I need to use appropriate language. So when you are on God's path, yes, it's hard work, but the whole time you should be filled with joy. You should be filled with faith. I didn't say this to you, but I need to tell you this. The five-year process that James and I walked in, it took incredible faith for us to get from where we were to where God wanted us to be. When you are, if you choose to be on your own path, it will take incredible faith to get you to where God wants you to be, but please don't lose faith, okay? If you are in the process of repentance, do not lose faith, because what God has for you at the end of that process will be amazing for you, okay? I love you guys. You are wonderful. Thank you for allowing me to speak what God had spoken to me. Now, listen, I knew I was preaching like 3 weeks ago. God didn't give me this message till Friday. I am not a procrastinator when it comes to this kind of stuff. I truly believe that this was what God needed to impart into each and every one of us today. Okay, you might feel that, oh, wait a second, I know what path I'm on. But please, evaluate yourself. Evaluate your life. And find out, am I on the path that God has for me, or did I make a choice to live on my path? Okay. So if you could all just stand, please. So I'm just going to pray over you that you identify the path that you are on. And if you need to apologize and begin the process of repentance, that you would do so. If you are on the path that God has for you, keep going, okay? So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you help us to identify what path we are currently taking. That, Lord, if it is our own path, that, Father, we take a moment and we apologize for where we are, because it is not where you want us to be. You knew we would make the choice. It didn't come by surprise. But it's not what you wanted for us. So, Lord, we say we are sorry for the path that we chose. And we ask right now that you would start to walk us through the process of repentance. And, Lord, I ask that those of us who are on the path that you have called us to be on, that we would continue to work that path, Lord. Because our job here on earth is to serve you with all of our heart. So, Lord, I thank you for the time that you've given us today. I ask that throughout this week that we would just walk closer with you and stay close to you and build relationship with others, because that's what you ask of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go and be blessed and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.